tiny houses, small houses, accessory dwelling units that go by many names. T and I were at a housing workshop yesterday. It was really quite interesting over in Belfast that had several participants. Maine Council on Aging as well as Maine Housing were there. We had a couple of different presenters. We had an architect who specializes in small dwellings. What he and his partner decided to do is, the architecture partner was to see how small they could design a house and stay within all codes, all residential codes. Smallest one they came up with was about 330, but they have several different really kind of spiffy designs between 330 square feet and up to 1900, I think, kind of the larger ones, and everything in between. We had presentations on sharing homes, on creative ways to do infill, to do accessory dwelling units, where they're allowed, where they're not, zoning, that sort of thing. New Hampshire has a really comprehensive law on planning for accessory dwelling units. We got that information yesterday. So Dave Foley was a small house architect. You may know him, Marcel. And nice presentation from him. Also one from Tom Emerson out of Kittery on auxiliary dwelling or accessory dwelling units. Another good presentation. He dealt a lot with Portland, L.A., Denver, Vancouver, etc., and might be useful in rewriting an ordinance if we get to the point as a committee where we want to recommend to the council that the following things are considered, and that that's what our charge is to ultimately make some kind of recommendation. And we don't, by the way, we don't have to do that unanimously. I'm not one that, you know, demands that only one voice go forward or any of that kind of thing. I can go forward and say, four of us agree that this is the way that we should recommend, and four of us agree that the other way is the way we recommend, and I'll take that to the council.
So as clarification, so the goal of this committee is to recommend an ordinance that the city council might take up.
That's a possibility. I don't think it's required that we recommend an ordinance. I think it's required that we recommend a way to address our component of the housing issue.
Okay.
And our component is small dwellings and or urban density infill. So we can go forward and say, for example, we think you ought to readily adopt, and we'll get into the weeds later, but readily adopt the Maine code on tiny houses, which is an opt-in. The city has to do that, and we haven't done that yet. No, it's my understanding we haven't quite done that
okay.
yet. And that was just an example. This committee may or may not decide that we want to recommend that to the council, but we can say we recommend you do that. In addition, we recommend that you consider infill with the following modifications. We only recommend setbacks of XYZ, or we only recommend infill in certain zones, certain neighborhoods, whatever it is. It's open. We can decide. We can decide that we want to recommend more areas for mobile homes, so-called mobile homes, so we want to increase mobile home parks in Rockland. We can take that recommendation forward. We could recommend cluster housing areas to do cluster housing that would include small cottages or small dwellings. And all of these, of course, have different names and slightly different shapes, but they're all, in essence, trying to say the code we have now that has the, Marcel, what is it, 1,200? What's the minimum square footage? Do you know? I'd have to look.
Right. I think it was 750.
750. Yeah.
We live in a 900 square foot house.
Yeah.
And also lot size.
And lot size, exactly.
Lot size.
But that 750 is not, that's just our town and our zoning.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the building code.
Right. Yeah, that's what we adopted. And, you know, there's all kinds of, we could even go back to history of post-World War II. When our American world sort of exploded and started saying, you know, suburbs and subdivisions and bigger is better and bigger lots and bigger houses.
And the codes that we've adopted are suburban codes.
Right.
And it has really messed up Rockland.
Well, and it has nothing to do with our history, our Rockland history.
Not at all.
If you go back in history and look at the setbacks and look at the sizes of houses and all that, then.
Well, it's the urban density. The tiny house discussion is putting the cart way before the horse. To me, the urban density stuff is making the codes work better for Rockland. Because a lot of what we're seeing is that houses that were divided into apartments downtown to create density and make housing, now if you restore them and rebuild them, they need a new CO, and the lot's not big enough. They can only be a single-family house.
Mm-hmm.
So we're losing all of these broken-up houses.
Mm-hmm.
So unless we change the 5,000 square foot per unit downtown, any other kind of density is not going to work. You have to start there and say we have to allow more density on a lot. And that could be within a single building or putting an outbuilding next mm-hmm. to it or whatever. But I think you have to start by looking more realistically at how that code fits into Rockland.
I had an interesting discussion with my house guest last night who used to be on comprehensive planning when he lived in town. He doesn't live there anymore. But we got off on this in the last set of housing meeting. He was interested, so we talked about it. Density, I usually consider urban density or infill of how many houses and the setbacks and how many are allowed in each lot and all of that. He said, you know what? You should think about going up as well.
Yeah.
Density is up.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a three-story building right next to you and you're in a one-story building, it's going to feel dense.
Yeah.
If you've got three-story buildings right next to each other, it certainly feels more dense than three one-story buildings. So urban density is more than just the footprint for me.
But you can't go up if you're limited in units.
Right.
Yeah. But sure. We have there's two-story buildings in town that are set up as duplexes, and now they can only be single-family houses because of the new code, because the lot's not big enough. So it's forcing us to create sprawl. It's creating suburban lots in the city. It doesn't make sense.
What are the challenges that we will have as a committee and certainly the council will have if we move forward in recommending something on infill and urban density is that there's a lot of resistance in the community. And I think a lot of that is because people don't completely understand. Some people do, not to discount the ones that have already investigated the ideas very extensively and they just are opposed to them. But there's also a lot of people that don't know exactly what it means. You know, they worry that it's going to be a mobile home park in their backyard, you know, this sort of thing. And as a committee, we can recommend and the council can adopt certainly design standards if they wanted to as well, that many cities do, and I'm leading somewhere with this whole thing, and saying that it needs to fit in with the primary house on the lot, or, you know, something of that sort of design-wise. Belfast put an infill ordinance in 5 years ago, I think it was. They mentioned it yesterday. They were talking about it yesterday. And then I went, that's the first time I'd ever heard David Foley speak, the architect that spoke yesterday. I also spoke several years ago at the library. And they did that because nobody was taking him up on the infill, or nobody was building anything. Nobody was doing anything. It wasn't a huge thing. It wasn't like all of a sudden everybody built in their own backyard. You know, it still costs money to build, to do these kinds of
things.
Building
now is just unbelievably expensive compared to what it was 5 years ago. I mean, it's just the cost of everything has gone up.
And he said it was even now less than 1% of the population was the number of infill units in any way that were being built in Belfast. And Belfast has a very similar problem that we do. You know, it's all over.
There's another aspect of infill that we can consider, and that has to do with parking. There's a lot of dead space in the downtown area created by parking requirements now. Your typical business owner, they know what parking they need for their customers. And I'm thinking of the one that's the trades.
The Tradewinds?
No.
The other ones.
The other direction.
The North End.
The auto parts dealer there. It used to be a grocery store at one time. Yeah. Tremendous parking space. I've never seen anything
more than a couple of cars there.
But technically, in the downtown zone, you know, there's not a parking requirement. In the downtown zone, you don't have to have the specific numbers for the business. You do in other areas, in commercial zones and other outside of the downtown zone proper, but you don't have to identify X number of spaces for each business downtown.
Okay.
So that's good.
So there's a possibility there.
Yeah.
Which is good, but parking is a real... I mean, my office is downtown, and there's numerous times where during the summer when I go to a meeting and come back, and there's no longer a spot where I can park for longer than 2 hours.
Sure. They're getting ready to put the lot behind Loyal Biscuits getting ready to have meters on it, so it's going to be
one of the goals might be a more walkable community. I live on Beach Street, so I walk when I want to go down to the downtown. Walk everywhere.
Some open lots downtown that have 60 or 70 foot frontages, which means they're unbuildable. because you have to have 80 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And thing is, the city was broken up before World War II, and most of the city lots have 70-foot frontage.
Some of them are 50.
Some of them, downtown, some of them are 50, but outside of the downtown commercial area, a lot of them are 70-foot frontage. And the ones that didn't get built on before 20 years ago are now unbuildable lots.
Yeah,
because of that 10 feet,
which is
absurd. We should, you know, if we had a 70-foot lot standard in the city, that should be our code.
Well, so, yes. Sorry.
Before we leave the downtown, too, there is a subcommittee dealing with downtown specifically and with housing on the upper floors there, so we don't need to worry too much about that.
The John Root, I believe, or at one of the presentations, put together a map with highlighted areas of, like, what spots, where, and how many would even be, like,
buildable
or feasible with a change. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think I would personally love to have a copy of that so that I can review it in my leisure. And I think for all of us to sort of understand what's the scope that we're talking about, where are the spots in the community, because I haven't seen anything published on that. It was sort of, they had a map up at the back of the room and they were talking, and it wasn't really like you can take it home with you and sort of absorb it. But I think understanding what those lots are, whether it's a 70 feet, whether it's a, you know,
less than 5
working our way backwards into figuring out where do we have, what is the vast quantity of property that if things were changed, could be used and work backwards into changing the rules to affect what's available. I don't want to make a new rule.
And I think those are simpler fixes. I mean, rather than deciding what the rules are for what kind of small house you can
build, 100%.
We can start with just making the lot size fit Rockland.
Yeah.
And then that's all you'd have to do. Then everything else fits that pattern. And then if we later on, you know, and then is continuing to get deeper into it, we can decide now if you want to do auxiliary houses and stuff, do what needs to change to do
can
that.
Can I ask a question? I think Habitat for Humanity built on, boy, help me, it's over in the north end, and there was a big house renovated, and then two
did a flag lot.
And did you have any trouble doing that? No, because it was enough square footage.
So the whole flag lot issue in Rockland pisses me off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I am so mad. I have 30 acres in Rockland, and I can't even have a single flag lot.
Really? Because
I'm on West Meadow Road.
Where's your
that doesn't get changed in this whole thing.
There's an easement in the driveway. It's a flag lot. That's
what it is.
Because
you put in two wonderful houses right there. Brewster Street?
Yeah.
Brewster Street.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we just went through with Rockport and did sort of zoning and ordinance review. That's sort of where I feel like, you know, in regards to small houses, I mean, that's supposed to be our focus. But you're right that we should probably look at the bigger picture.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot more palatable.
And make suggestions
tiny houses
with regards to that. And then, you know, your limitations.
Like
we're talking about, you know, building small. I mean, Habitat builds small houses anyway. We're talking about going smaller. And we're talking about, you know, the reality is they make sense for a lot of people. And regardless of what you call it, it's just sensible design and development, period. And that's really what the focus should be. And I think that the zoning and ordinance review play a key role in that. I mean, we're doing it down the road.
Go ahead.
Okay. My other issue, from a guy who goes over code by way more than I'd like to, and who loves tiny houses and the whole process, I see major problems with the new tiny house code. That they want us to adopt.
It's not extensive enough.
Well,
they don't deal with a lot of details.
The biggest problem, I think, is anybody who builds a tiny house eventually will want to put on a mudroom or something. And a mudroom or something. And as soon as you get beyond that square footage, now any stairs that you put in or anything that you've done to meet that code, now you've bumped out of that code. And so you can't do it. So, like, for people to build really small but meet the regular code and still have these houses makes way more sense, because then if they do need to evolve, like every house does, it can. Yeah. If anybody builds by that, they're putting themselves in a horrible shape.
It's a box.
So I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
One of the things that makes sense to me is again, to go back to the beginning, and what I will bring to our next meeting is copies. I didn't bring the big book with me because I know Stuart's got one up there, but copies of the code as it is now that we can all look at. In the meantime, you can find it online, and we can all go over it and say, all right, this is our area, this is our problem, this is the recommendations that we want to make going forward. I'll also try to get John Root with the maps, try to get the maps even sent to all of you before we get together again so we can review them, but we can review them again here. And I think, as all of us have kind of agreed, then the next thing we can talk about is sizes of houses and shapes. And,
yep. Yeah.